We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, the gorgeous Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just great.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. If you would like to be put on the wheel for the blessing book for the month of June, all you have to do is like, share, and comment done. The book for this month is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Joshua West. I think I covered it all, Miss Mary. Would you please pray to start us out?
Okay. Father, we give you praise for yourself, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you are our sufficiency. No matter what we face in life, Lord, you are more than able to see us through, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are there for us to turn to. Lord, we thank you that you are a mighty God. There is nothing impossible with you. Lord, and you always have our good at your heart. You always give us your best, Lord. And we just thank you for that. And we just give this time to you today. Lord, we pray that words of encouragement would go forth today. Lord, in that it would lift your people up and encourage their hearts no matter what they're going through, Lord, because they have a great, big, wonderful God who loves them, and he gave his all for them. And we just give you praise, Lord, for who you are and what you have done already, Lord, and what you are going to do. Father, we give you praise in advance, and we thank you, Lord, and we ask your anointing to be upon us today because, Lord, we can't do anything without you. We have to have your anointing. And, Lord, I'm so thankful that you said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in their midst. And so, Father, we know that you're here, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Your title this morning is "Give God Gives His Best and What He Thinks About Us."
Yes.
I have my notebook, my pen, and my treasure. My treasure is my Bible, y'all.
Yes.
I'm ready to roll. How about you, Miss Mary?
Okay. Well, the Lord gave this to me, I guess, in two or three separate parts. So, and then he put it all together into one. So, first of all, we're going to start out with a verse that focuses on us, I guess. And it's Isaiah 55:8. And we were talking about God giving us his best. And he said about us, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so a lot of times we don't understand what we're going through, you know, and why did this happen to me, Lord? Well, you know, he's got a purpose in everything that he allows to come our way. And it's to do us good. His plan is to always, he says, no matter what happens, if you love me, I'll make all things work together for your good. All things work together for your good. So he wants to give us his best. He's done that all through time. He had the word says that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was slain. It was God's plan to send his son from the foundation of the world, because he created Adam and Eve, but he knew when he created him that because he's all wisdom, and he knows, he can see into the future, and he knew that they were going to mess up. And so he already had a plan in mind. It said Jesus was slain. It was his purpose. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, before any of it took place. And so, but God still said, let there be, and there was. You know, why? Because he wanted fellowship with us. He wanted somebody to love him, not because they were a robot, not because they were a puppet, but out of their heart, he wanted to have fellowship with somebody. So he created us. And before he could create us, he had to make a world for us to live in. So he spoke the word world into existence. And then at the very last, he said, he turned to Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, and he said, let us make man in our own image. So we are the crowning thing of his creation. He did. He put everything in place before he created us, because he made a place for us to live in. And so he's got our good in mind. Okay, in Matthew 6:26, it tells, Jesus said this. He said, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And I'm going to stop here right in the middle of this. You know, we think that we do. We try our best to work, you know, and to we put out our effort to work and to reap, and that's the way it should be, yes. But that's not all there is, because he said the fowl, they don't do anything. The fowl, the birds of the air, all they do is just exist. They don't spend their toil working, and they don't worry about reaping. They don't do anything. But he said, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he asked this question. Are you not much better than they are, than the fowl of the air? Yes. We are, like I said before, we are his crowning piece of his creation. So we are better. And And if he feeds the birds of the air that don't do anything, and they don't put out any effort to reap, and if he takes care of them so good, he is going to take care of us, because we're made in his image. And so, you know, he thinks more of us. We're the crowning piece of his creation. And so we're made in his image. And so, anyway, and then in Luke 12:32, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you not just the earth, not just the present, but he says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And that's saying this: it's your Father's good pleasure to give everything to you, to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom is a whole thing. You know, it's not just our life here on earth. It's eternity. That we rule and reign with him in eternity. That's what God's plans for us are. That we're royalty. Royalty. You know. And so he said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then in Exodus 19:6, he said, "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Not just any kingdom, but a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Because he requires holiness, because he is a holy God. And we can't stand in his presence without holiness. And it's not our holiness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before him. But he gives us, he forgives us of our sins. And then he gives us the righteousness of Christ. And he clothes us in his righteousness. And we become holy to him. Because it's Jesus' righteousness that God looks at us in, and we're clothed. He said, "That's my kids. That's my kids." My goodness, aren't we privileged? We are privileged. I mean, it lifts us up above all of the junk in this world. All of the stuff, that the fiery darts that Satan would throw at us. If we really grab a hold of that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we have a kingdom. And we don't even have to wait till eternity to get it. We are made rulers, rule and reign in this life, right now. Rule and reign with him right now over all of this. He makes us victorious over all of the junk Satan throws at us. You know, he gives us his power to do that. And so he makes us a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And then I've got a personal little tidbit here that I want to throw in before this next scripture here. You know, sometimes people do and say things and they don't know exactly what they're doing or what they're saying, because they sometimes don't know the history of a person. Anyway, I was talking to somebody that I have met in the last year, I guess, you know. And she had been telling me that the Lord had given her dreams and stuff. And I said, oh, wow. I said, I don't hardly dream at all, you know. And I've been asking the Lord to let me have visions and dreams. And her response to that was, because, you know, you think that, and, you know, what I was thinking was good stuff, you know, good stuff. The visions and stuff that, and the dreams that the Lord gives you. A lot of times he'll give you a dream to give you direction in life or something, you know, or whatever. And so I was thinking good stuff. But she said, I don't particularly like all the stuff God shows me, you know. And so anyway, I said, well, I said, I had one dream one time. I can't really remember how old I was when I had this dream. But I told her about this dream. And I just mentioned where I was in this dream. At the very first of this dream, I was being led into a certain place. And this dream happened a long time ago, and it was a long time before the Lord gave me the understanding of that dream. And he had already done that. But I didn't tell her that the Lord had already showed me what that dream meant. It didn't dawn on me that that would be important to tell her that. You know, and I didn't share with her the meaning of that dream either. But I did tell her the Lord had given me this dream and that I'd been asking. She said, well, you might not like all the things God shows you, you know. And so I didn't answer her back and everything. And so it was, and I just thought that was the end of the conversation. Well, I don't know how long it was, maybe a week or so after that happened. I went to church one morning, and our pastor was not there that morning. He had felt led to that he needed to go somewhere else, and so he had asked somebody else to come in and speak. And so when this new friend of mine came in that morning, I made reference to that, you know, that somebody else was going to speak, and I knew who it was, and I told her who it was. And so she said, well, she said, before that happens, she said, I need to say some things this morning. And I said, well, I don't know who's going to be doing the preliminaries, you know, whatever. And so, anyway, then after that, another person came in, and he was in charge of the preliminaries. So, when they... he announced who the speaker was going to be. And he said, before they come, this other person wants to say something. Well, so she got up, and I thought she was going to say something to the whole congregation. She started saying, like she started out like she was. And then right in the big middle of it, she said, Mary? She said, And she started giving me a personal word in front of everybody. And what it was something about this dream that I had told her. But it was not from God. What she was saying was not from God, because I knew what the interpretation was. And what she was saying was completely, it had never entered my mind. It had never entered my heart. It didn't have any. She took what I said about where I was, and she said, and she just told me, you'll never do that. And you're only going to be able to do this and this and this and this and this. I had made, and she said, and so don't make any plans. Well, I don't make plans. My prayer to God is, Lord, I want to be where you want. You put me where you want to. I don't have any plans of my own, but I want you to be pleased with my life. And so, Lord, and a lot of times I say, Lord, just give me something to do nobody else wants to do, and I'll go do it. So I don't have any great plans. And so I knew the stuff that was coming out of her mouth was not from God, because she limited me to such a little box, you know. And when you serve God, He's a limitless God, and He can do anything. And when a person is willing to, whatever you want, Lord, you know, and I'll say, Lord, you know, you'll, by your grace, in your help, I'll go do this. Because sometimes the Lord might give us something that we don't quite think we're ready for, yeah. You know. And so, you know, sometimes He has more confidence in us than we have in ourselves. We know our shortcomings. and so, but I mean, that just went the wrong way with me, because she said it in front of the whole congregation. And those kinds of things should be shared privately, you know. And so I've had a hard time dealing with that. And I've had to say, Lord, I don't want any unforgiveness. I don't want, you know, but it made me not even want to go back to church for a while, you know, because I didn't want to be around her, you know. But I went, you know. I mean, I didn't let it stop me from going, you know, but so, well, I was praying about that, and I said, Lord, why does she have to do that? And the Lord gave me this scripture. I'm going to give you the first part of it, but then it's the second part that is really good. Because a lot of times, and I'll say this to explain the second part before I read it. You know, a lot of times there's a lot of great men and women of God out there. And Paul made reference in this scripture to himself and another man. He said, there's division and strife among you, because this one's saying, well, I got saved under Paul. And this other guy is saying, well, I got saved under Apollos. And he said, you got your eyes on men, you know. And it's almost like they were making Paul and Apollos and these people almost equal with God, you know. And we have a tendency when somebody's a great being used of God greatly, you know. Well, we are supposed to esteem those that labor among us highly, but we're not supposed to do it overboard, you know. And so anyway, and this person that had said these things to me, she had made me just, you know, have a hard time dealing with it, because I felt like she was limiting me, her viewpoint of me, and we're not supposed to worry about what people think of us, but the flesh part of us does, yes. You know. And I thought, she doesn't think of me, but she doesn't know what God's done in my past. And she cut God far short, mm-hmm. because God had already done some things in my past, and so she didn't know about. And so, anyway, I was asking the Lord, help me with this. You're going to have to help me get past this. You're going to have to help me forgive her and just go on and just not let it bother me. Not let me stay in this little box. Don't let me pay attention. And God gave me this scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And then he skipped down to verse 21 through 23. And this is what really stuck out to me. He said, therefore, let no man glory in men. And this is the phrase that really jumped out at me. For all things are yours. It was this offset what that person had said to me. He said, all things are yours. All things are yours. Don't let them put limitations on you. You know, all things are yours. And see, this is in the Bible. And so it's written to all of us. It's not just written to me, but we can take this word and we can apply it to our lives. All things are yours. And I thought it was so neat. God just he said, all things are yours. And he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. And then he names all of these things that happen to us in life. Or the world, or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours. And you belong to Christ. And Christ is God's. And then he brought to my mind Ephesians 2:6 that says, we are seated in heavenly places with him. When we know him as our Savior and Lord, we are seated in heavenly places with him. And so, I mean, that was just like icing on the cake, you know. And so, all things are yours. The Lord knows how to restore a person's spirit, or, you know, he knows how to restore them back. And so, don't let anybody put you down. You may not, I didn't say a word to her, and I still haven't said a word to her. As far as what she had said or anything, I have talked to her since then, and the Lord helped me talk to, and the Lord helped me talk to her, and I'd been asking the Lord to do a healing, and He did it through our conversation. After that, you know, He did it. I left out of there, and it was like I was totally different, and it's been that way ever since. So, anyway, Then Psalms 103:19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. So it doesn't matter what people say. It matters what God says. If God said it, it will come to pass as we trust and obey and do what God says. Jesus had naysayers when he walked on the earth. He had a lot of people come against him. But he persevered and he won. We are his. He is our example. And so, what did Jesus say about us when he was here? Well, he said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." And then I'm going to read you some other scriptures on salt, and then I'm going to talk about the other part that he said we are. So, Mark 9:50 says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." So, do we need to stop?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.